The following is the next installment in a series of podcasts on Justice Information Sharing, National Initiatives for 2012. These podcasts are presented by SEARCH, the National Consortium for Justice Information and Statistics, and this series is made possible through a grant from the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Welcome all of you, and thank you for joining us for this discussion about the Index Program. I am Michael Jacobson with SEARCH, and joining me are Chris Brown with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, Jeff Lindsay, the Unit Chief for Index, and Michael Haas, who is the Supervisory Special Agent for Index. So let's get started. In 2009, SEARCH recorded a discussion among early adopters of Index that provides insights into the who, what, and why of the Index Program. For those who are unfamiliar with the Index Program, maybe we could start out with an overview of the program.
Sure, this is Jeff, and I'll take a stab at that. First of all, in 2009, Index was really in its infancy as an operational system. The whole design behind Index built with a collaborative idea in mind of full participation of the stakeholders at every juncture, was that Index would be built and delivered in three increments. Now, this was in order to have stakeholder input at every juncture, as well as to be able to take advantage of technological improvements that occur over time, and also make sure that we collectively, the builders of Index, the FBI, the Department of Justice, our state, local, tribal, other federal partners, got it right, as opposed to what some would consider the traditional government model of building the black box, throwing it out there with if we build it, they'll come approach. And Index was consciously built upon the opposite premise, that we need to build it collaboratively from day one. So in 2009, Index had been probably in operation a little over a year. It was very limitedly focused on law enforcement data and had a limited participation base, both in terms of users and data by design. Well, now we're in 2012, and Index has come a long way in terms of how it's been developed and deployed. But consistent amongst all those steps it took to get to where we are today have been the input of our stakeholders. And the design of Index to meet the needs, ultimately, the investigators or analysts for who it's targeted. Well, Index is unique in several different ways. First of all, Index is unique in its scale. It is the nationally scaled criminal justice information system. And by that I mean that we recognize collectively that there are a lot of good information sharing programs and systems in the country today, but there has not been the unified effort to build a nationally scaled system that connects those. And there are gaps in the country, and if you were to look at the country in terms of a quilt, there's lots of patches out there that aren't necessarily tied together. An index comes along and it ties them together as a national aggregator. And one of our basic premises is not to compete with, in whatever definition of the word that somebody would take it in, but to complement those existing systems. So we want to build upon what already works. And you could name the state or name the system that serves the local criminal justice community, law enforcement community well. And what we want to do is we want to come along and partner with them and take what is working well on the local or regional basis and take it nationally so that in light of the fact that criminals or actors that we're looking upon in our investigations don't stay in one place, neither does that information need to stay in one place. The other uniqueness about Index is its scope. Most of the information sharing systems in existence today focus primarily on the frontline law enforcement or frontline investigative agencies. And while that is critically important, it was understood at the conception of Index that, you know, actually there's more information out there that's already legally shareable that's going to be a benefit to investigators and analysts throughout the criminal justice spectrum. So one of the uniquenesses of Index is its scope. Not only is Index interested in getting data and users from the frontline law enforcement entities that would contribute and be interested in incident and arrest data, but we also want to focus on the next step, those jails and those corrections facilities that would be able to contribute users as well as data along the lines of any reports or records that they have regarding booking or incarceration. And then we saw that, you know, at the end of the criminal justice spectrum or at the other side of it is going to be probation and parole data. So Index was also designed to take that in. So the uniqueness in scope is that Index takes that full criminal justice lifecycle, takes information that would otherwise be legally shareable amongst the members of the criminal justice community, ingests it, and makes it available to folks that need it. And then finally, Index is unique in terms of sustainability. We realize that with the fiscal climate that all government entities find themselves in, that those dollars to run IT systems, much less keep gas in the cars and keep their investigators and analysts on the payroll in some cases, we realize that it's very fiscally challenging to stand up or to even keep in operation an information sharing system. One of the benefits of CJIS division of the FBI's participation in the development of Index is that we are part of the CJIS infrastructure of services. Folks that are already familiar with the National Crime Information Center or the Interstate Identification Index or IAPIS, the fingerprint aspect of information sharing, biometrics, can take comfort in the fact that Index is part of that system and will be sustained and nurtured and improved and enhanced over time as part of the CJIS system of systems.
Great, Jeff. So to follow up with that, maybe Chris, you could explain to us why agencies would want to share information with Index.
Absolutely. This is Chris. And probably that's going to require a three-part answer. The first, I think, is the days of this is my information and nobody else can have it are long gone. We just can't afford to operate that way anymore. And I think if you look at any of the high-profile events that have occurred over the last, 10 or 12 years, almost invariably you will find that somebody had information residing in their system that could have been helpful, either preventing those events or following up on them almost immediately. The fact is nobody knew the records existed, nobody knew how to access the records, and we have the ability to change that now, and I think if we don't change the way we exchange information and look at exchanging information, we're really doing everybody an injustice. The second part, I think, is the FBI is just one of hundreds of agencies that are sharing information every day on Index. And, in fact, the FBI is sharing information with us as well. So, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. The third part, I think, and a lot of people probably don't understand this, but Index, just like NCIC, III, all the other criminal data systems that law enforcement uses every day nationwide that are hosted by the FBI, are actually under a shared management model. And what that means is that although they reside in FBI facilities, it's representatives from city law enforcement agencies and counties and states, tribal representatives and federal representatives that govern these systems, that decide security and access protocols, that decide functionalities, and all those kinds of aspects. And it's very much a shared environment, a shared responsibility, and we all play a role.
Thanks, Chris. Jeff touched on something a little bit earlier, that the Index program is expanding to other jurisdictions. Initially, it was focused primarily on law enforcement agencies. So maybe, Michael, if you could tell us a little bit more about what other types of information or other types of users would be able to get information through Index.
as we mentioned before, when Index was first started, we made a conscious decision to limit the participation to law enforcement agencies so that we could really make sure we got the right system deployed in a way that met people's needs and in a responsive way. And at that point, we were only really bringing in incident and arrest data. When the system became fully operational in 2011, we enlarged the amount of data types that we could take, and we began to take incarceration data, booking data, probation, and parole data. And what that's done is that's allowed us to really capture any kind of contact a suspect or subject may have had with the entire criminal justice community, from the first call for service or field contact that officer has in the street, all the way through the court system, the correction system, and any kind of supervised release system. And that's given us now really about 750 million entities within Index. That's 750 million people, places, things, property, or events. The other parts of Index that are really significant is if the state so enables this functionality, users can utilize Index to get to NCIC and III data. We've also been working with a lot of other federal partners to make really massively large amounts of other data available to them. And two of the things that we're most proud of recently are accomplishments with regard to providing DHS data to users. And we are also very soon going to be rolling out access to Interpol data. These will be the first time that these data sources are made so available to so many people. And really, I think that's the critical part here. There's really no other tool that offers the kind of analytical identity resolution, correlations, and other search functions any other user community. So we really think this is a really great stride forward here in providing data to the people that really need it to do their jobs.
You've talked a little bit about some of the uses for Index information, and you mentioned users several times. So maybe describe a little bit about who your typical user is and who can access the Index information.
So when we, again, when we first began, the Index system was limited to just law enforcement use. In 2011, the Shared Management Advisory Policy Board that helps govern Index decided to open up Index more broadly to a really large portion of the criminal justice community. And really the more significant entities or business lines that were permitted to utilize Index now include probation, parole, courts, prosecutors, medical examiners, dispatch centers, and other criminal justice agencies. One of the really important concepts there is when those agencies are participating in it and submitting their data, Index offers them really full control over the data they had. So with all these different users and all these different data sets being made available within Index, one of the things that the APB, the Advisory Policy Board, asked us to do is to make sure that we offered really sophisticated agency configurable data sharing tools to allow agencies to really define what kinds of data they shared with what kind of other user and in what way that sharing occurred. So there's a lot of tools in Index that really allow data owners to control what they share and allow them to decide to whom and in what way that data is exposed.
Excellent. Thank you. It seems to me that the Index could be used in the intelligence community quite a bit. Does Index contain intelligent data? And maybe describe for our listeners what you consider intelligence data.
Sure, this is Jeff again, and I'll take a shot at that. Well, first of all, Index is a criminal justice information sharing system, and you really do need to kind of parse the definitions of what is raw information, what is the information that is in the records management systems, the jail management systems, the normal course of day-to-day operational data that the criminal justice agencies that participate in Index share in on a day-to-day basis that is the focus of Index, and what is legally definable criminal intelligence or intelligence data. First of all, from a larger perspective, Index is an unclassified system. It has several different caveats depending on the focus, sensitive but unclassified, law enforcement sensitive, but that is generally the nature of the system in terms of being an unclassified system. And Index does not accept intelligence information as defined by 28 CFR Part 23. And what I would do is refer to those that aren't familiar with that particular federal code to that code to determine exactly what criminal intelligence is by definition. So Index does not accept that information. Now, that being said, one of the designs of Index is to allow investigators or analysts to not just solve crimes, but to prevent crimes, also to contribute to national security. So to that end, as a all-source data point for investigators or an analyst who are authorized to access and utilize the data within Index, then we certainly can be a feeder to someone doing an intelligence analytical function, or whether that be criminal or some other way forward in terms of using the data. One of the foundational components of Index is our sharing policy. And without getting too much in detail, essentially what the sharing policy enables a contributing entity to do, that chief, sheriff, commissioner, or superintendent, is determine what data they share with Index and how the authorized users to Index see that data, based on a variety of factors. So essentially, what that means is Index is not an all-or-nothing proposition for participation. And that responsible individual with the sheriff's office, with the state corrections office, with the probation office, with the police department, that responsible information, that responsible individual can determine how their information is viewed. Commensurate with that is the sharing policy control over how information in Index is utilized beyond the system. There is a presumption that information is viewable and usable simply by the fact that someone contributes information to Index. But beyond that, to take any type of actionable step with that information requires a couple of things on the part of the user. And that is that they first contact the contributing entity to determine how valid and recent the information is. And secondly, that they get concurrence from that entity to utilize that information, however they intend to use it. So how that would work practically is, if I find information in Index that I want to use in a warrant or that I want to use in an intelligence product, it's incumbent upon me to call back to or contact in some other fashion the contributor of that information and determine if it's valid and current and updated, and also to get permission to be able to use it. So that way the contributors have an assurance that by policy their information can only be used in a way that they approve or intend it to be used.
This is really interesting, and I'm learning a lot about Index. So if I were a sheriff's department, how would I begin using Index?
There's really kind of two parts to using. One is getting your data and allowing your data to be shared with your partners in the criminal justice community. As one real strong proponent of Index said, the value of Index is what you give as much as what you get. So really, first decision would be to share your data, to get your data in, to allow people to solve crime outside of your jurisdiction, capture your criminals before they even come into your area. So that's getting your data in. And really, the answer to that is, the chief or sheriff should either call up the Index program office, or they should contact the officer within the state, so that they can both point you to the same place we can begin that process to get the data ingested into Index. The other question is really about users, getting users access to the data that's already in Index. And there's where, again, the same answer, talk to the CJIS systems officer in the state or talk to the Index program, and we'll help you try to assess what's the best way to get access. And Index, at its core, is really a large database kind of in the sky. And the question we or the CJIS systems officer will help answer is, what's the best way to get access? Is it through kind of the web service, kind of using a system you have and having that query Index? Or is it some way that officers or agents or analysts can kind of log into Index and use the tools that Index developed? There's a lot of different capabilities, a lot of flexibility in how Index is deployed, and both getting the data to Index and getting the users to Index. We're very flexible. We're very accommodating. We and the CJIS systems officer and the criminal justice agency will be able to partner up and find a way to meet the needs to make sure we can deliver that product to the folks that need it.
So with all of that, I'm sure that there's still some agencies that are reluctant to participate in IDEX. So what are some of those reasons that you're hearing for that?
Well, this is Chris. You know, most of the reasons I hear generally fall into two pretty broad categories. The first are technical challenges. But as Michael just alluded to, you know, CJIS has been remarkably generous in providing resources to work with agencies to help them do things like establish their user identity management systems, to identify the user access model that's most appropriate to their agency and their state, and even to help them with their data integration and mapping. CJIS has worked very proactively with IGIS to encourage justice information system companies to adopt national data exchange standards and even to develop low-cost data exchange solutions as an off-the-shelf component of their products. The second probably is certainly financial challenges, but you know, I would argue that in an environment where we clearly aren't going to get any additional human resources, the only affordable force multiplier we have is maximizing the efficiency of our people. And I think one of the salient methods of doing that is ensuring that they can access the info they need when they need it, where they need it, and when it's most likely to make a difference. You know, this means a dramatic reduction in investigative legwork. It'll mean better informed decisions on the street, which actually reduces your liability potentially. And certainly the ability to better connect the dots means a myriad of crimes solved that otherwise just simply wouldn't be. I think the current fiscal situation should be a driver for participation and not a disincentive.
Great. So the IDEX program is taking some steps to minimize these barriers. Jeff, you had some points here that you wanted to mention about minimizing those barriers.
Right, and one of the things to keep in mind is the FBI is a sponsor of the system and a participant in the system, is not a grantor organization. In other words, we, as much as we may like, we can't provide the funds directly to agencies or systems to connect to IDEX or to utilize IDEX. But what we do is we offer with no fee for accessing IDEX or utilizing IDEX to share your records with other folks. We offer a lot of ways that we can work with the government agencies to get their data to IDEX. And these are services we provide from the program office that include mapping their data, that include looking at software solutions that are compatible with the different service provider solutions that the agencies that want to participate have chosen. And we're very ecumenical when it comes to working with the service providers in that, you know, we will crack the code for them from the time they knock on the door all the way in the IDEX and actually help them that way as well. Those services include going on site to an agency and assisting them, depending on their technological wherewithal with getting their data to IDEX. But that's not limited to just data. That also includes different ways to get to IDEX for their users. And we certainly can go a long way into mitigating any associated costs that a participating entity or agency might encounter.
So you said that there are no fees associated with IDEX participation and that it's fairly low cost and you would provide some assistance in getting started with that. Are there recurring fees or any recurring costs that an agency would have if they participated with IDEX?
IDEX is a fee-free system. There's no cost at all involved in submitting data to IDEX or no cost in getting users to IDEX. There is the challenge, of course, of initially creating that system to allow data to come and allow users to get there. But that's a challenge that we will work with the criminal justice agencies to kind of coordinate with their service provider, their vendor, to get that system made available. But CJIS IDEX charges no fee whatsoever. Neither is there a requirement that you have to contribute data to use IDEX. We have information we want to make available to people. There's a lot of different ways to get it. Some of those are as simple as having an account in LEO, and those are things that an investigator, analyst, agent, officer, deputy can get on and essentially be using this afternoon. So there's no cost to the system, no requirement to contribute data, and there's a lot of flexibility in getting that made available to folks.
Yeah, and this is Jeff again. Just to piggyback on that, just to let people understand that we at Index are the beneficiaries of a lot of taxpayer dollars in terms of developing the system, a lot of input. And our goal is to advance criminal justice information sharing at the lowest possible cost to our ultimate users.
Excellent. You also touched a little bit on helping agencies getting started or getting connected with providing data to the system. And there obviously are going to be some burdens and some costs associated with getting started if I wanted to automatically submit incident report information from my RMS. Does the Index program have ways to mitigate some of those burdens or costs for the local agencies? And if so, maybe describe just an ideal situation where you would help an agency out with that.
Yeah, there are ways that we can help those agencies mitigate the cost. And the first thing is to discover if you don't know whether or not your data is being contributed to Index already through some aggregated system on a regional or state level. And oftentimes, chiefs and sheriffs realize they're sharing their information on that basis on a regional or state level, and they're interested in Index, and that state already has a plan. It may not be fully implemented, but the state already has a plan to contribute data and access to users to Index. It's just a matter of it coming to fruition. So there are a lot of agencies that would be interested or are interested in Index participation that either are already participating or will soon be, and that's just a matter of coordinating with the program office in terms of establishing where you are in the process. So in addition to determining if an agency is already participating with Index through a larger aggregator or in line to participate with Index through a state system or a regional system, there are things that we can do in the program office to identify where those costs may be, and not necessarily cost in dollars, but it may just simply be cost in man hours of some programming time or on the ground technical application that has to occur, and we will work with those particular agencies that request our help in identifying that. And additionally, we work very closely in providing information to both the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Assistance in terms of their information sharing grants, so that we can provide some justification, or we can provide the end state of sharing with Index as a desired effect of an information sharing grant. And then when the local agencies, the regional agencies apply, then they get whatever assistance is particular to that particular grant, and then as a result can end up participating with Index.
Excellent. So as we keep talking through this and understanding a little bit more about Index and some of the services that Index provides, including help with implementation, obviously you have several agencies or several states, great number of users, and a great amount of information out there. From the current users, do you have any success stories about how Index was able to connect the dots?
Okay, we have several success stories in Index, and they kind of run the gamut of applications, everything from providing critical information that leads to breaking a homicide case, or actually saving an investigator time and energy by determining that a subject that they were looking for is actually incarcerated somewhere else, so they're able to close their case or at least close that aspect of the case. Chris, I believe you may have something to offer.
Sure. Just a couple examples from Oregon, and kind of consistent with what you said, Jeff, different types of hits. But early on, we had an investigator in Hood River County, which is in the northern part of the state, that was investigating a homicide and determined his suspects lived out of state. he got on Index and very quickly discovered records in Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department that contained information on the suspects and actually included information on several associates that resided in California. As required, he reached out to the LASD detective that was listed as the point of contact, and eventually they were able to develop the case to a degree where one of the suspects was arrested in California. Thereafter, the detective was able to interview the suspect in Los Angeles and obtain additional information important to the case. Last I knew, the suspect was extradited back to Oregon and is awaiting trial. So that's kind of an early one. And then just 2 days ago, I happened to run into a Oregon Department of Justice crime analyst. And just in conversation, she mentioned to me that she had recently been investigating an ecstasy smuggling organization and was able to place one of the alleged runners through a variety of traffic stops along corridors between Florida and Oregon, which sort of corroborated the information that they had to date. So she said it was helpful in that case as well.
So the reference to California brings to mind another success story that we had. And it's a little bit similar to the story that Jeff related, where investigators were able to determine that a suspect is already incarcerated in a different jurisdiction. Turns out that in San Diego, a missing persons detective was taking a report from a woman who was trying to locate her missing husband, and she was concerned that the husband had actually been deceased. Detective searched through all the databases, wasn't able to find any information on a whim. They checked Index and was able to determine that the husband was actually incarcerated several states away, but just had failed to let his wife know. But maybe a more typical example is something that happened in Philadelphia, where an FBI agent was investigating, had a potential suspect in some burglaries, some pharmacy burglaries, and was able to utilize Index and determine that there was some historical information about similar pharmacy burglaries the suspect had conducted. And as a result of finding that information, was able to link that suspect with dozens of other burglaries committed in the tri-state region. And again, so what Index did is provide additional investigative leads that really wouldn't have been available through any other method.
Index is such a great tool, and the Index program is putting out a tremendous amount of effort in making sure that the Index information and the tools are available. So as an interested agency, where do I go about finding out more about Index and the services that are offered?
Well, this is Chris. One step is you'll see a variation from state to state on how agencies are connecting using the state infrastructure. So one step is certainly reaching out to the state CEGIS systems officer and just making an inquiry of what's required and where to submit your application. And then the Bureau probably has some information as well.
Yeah, and Jeff here kind of adding on to that. And if an agency is not really certain who they're state CEGIS system agency is, and then subsequently the CEGIS systems officer, it's generally the entity within the state that's providing them NCIC information. So in most cases, it's going to be the state patrol or highway patrol or state police or some other state-level investigative agency. And that would be a good step. And then also, you can call the program office directly. I have a number for folks if you want to get ready here in a second to copy it. But we have liaisons within the program office that handle every state, that handle several major systems and programs that are already in operation that can coordinate with an interested agency to include their participation either directly with Index or through the state solution or through a regional system. And the way to find out where that is simply to call the program office, leave a message, or be transferred to the program office, and either way, we'll attend to your questions as expeditiously as possible. But that number is 304-625-4357. Again, that's 304-625-4357. That's the CEGIS, the Criminal Justice Information Services Division Help Desk, and just inform the operator taking the call that you have an Index-related question, and we'll follow up with you as quickly as we can.
Thank you all for participating in today's podcast and providing a very important law enforcement tool along with the services that Index provides. Search appreciates the efforts of the Index program and especially wants to thank today's participants. Jeff Lindsay, Unit Chief for Index, Michael Haas, Supervisory Special Agent with Index, and Chris Brown with the International Association of Chiefs of Police.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.